In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Somebody was obviously very tidy and picked up my sermon, which was up here on the lectern ready. I hadn't noticed it had been moved, but thank you, Rebecca. You obviously noticed it wasn't here. I would have got up here and wondered where on earth it had gone. Oh, right. As you listen to our gospel reading this morning, did it come alive for you in today's world? It certainly did for me as I sat down to write it. First of all came the people in authority who realised that Jesus had put them in an impossible position as he replied to their question, intended to trap him with one of his own. They dodged his question to them, realising that wherever they said they would fall foul of public opinion. That certainly rang a bell with me as the rule of six came into play this month. We might ask why those in authority in our devolved governments cannot get together and agree a simple national form of rule, rather than having local variations issued at different times. We can ask the politicians why they seem to be more interested in trying to score political points over others than putting the nation's interests at first. We can ask the medical experts whether Christmas celebrations will be on hold this year. But don't hold your breath if you are expecting an answer. When faced with difficult questions which they don't want to answer, they have turned their response into what only can be described as an art form, which doesn't include yes or no in its vocabulary. Secondly came the son, who refused his father's request, but nevertheless agreed to it when he left his presence. I think we've all met people whose practice is much better than their profession. They appear to be tough, hard-hearted materialists, but in reality they have a heart and can be found doing kind and very generous things in secret. Yes, they have a soft centre, but often appear to have no interest in organised religion and the church. Yet when push comes to shove, as it were, they are to be found living more practical Christian lives than many professing Christians. I often find that people say to you, when they refuse payment for something they have obtained or done for you, put it in the collection on Sunday. And certainly in the early days of lockdown, there was no shortage of good Samaritans, ensuring that those in need were given practical help, but didn't want any publicity. Thirdly came the son who agreed to his father's request, but never carried it out when he left his presence. Again, I think we've all met those people whose profession is better than their track record of their practice. They promise something but don't deliver. Fine words, but no fine deeds in their trademark. Sometimes the quick promise to act is purely a desire to be seen as important. Sometimes it has a genuine intent, but it comes from a person who cannot seem to organise their lives, so they attempt to do far too much and fail. Did you recognise those three types in today's world? The people in authority who cannot be honest with themselves when faced with the truth. The people who promise much but don't deliver and acquire a reputation of unreliability. The people who are noticed because their deeds speak louder than words. I suspect you did recognise them, and Jesus recognised them, and so do we, because they all have one thing in common. They were and are all flawed human beings. Even the apparent plaudit for the son who said no, but nevertheless changed his mind, is tempered by the fact that he equated with the despised four characters of Jesus' time, the tax collectors and the prostitutes. The best of a bad munch, as the idiom puts it. Jesus showed us that the door to the kingdom is open when the truth of people's profession and practice meet and match. These are the primary message of the gospel today. But while that message But while that is the message, we should not forget the subtleties which lie within it. Whilst the characters in our Gospels were all flawed human beings, there was one who differed from the others. Unlike his brother and the people in authority, the son who said no and yet complied with his father's request realized that he was not perfect. He was prepared to do something about it, unlike the others. Yes, the true Christian is one who recognizes their failings and tries to correct them with God's help and in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the truth of it, and truth, as we know, can be painful. Like the teenagers who will quite happily go on a protest march on ecological matters, claiming they want to make the world a better and much cleaner place, but cannot recognize their mother's request to clean up the mess in their bedroom and take out the things that have got a mold on them. They cannot understand they are one and the same thing. Yet we're all sinners. None of us is perfect. For as one Archbishop of Canterbury put it, God loves us in our sin and through our sin and goes on loving us, looking for a response. Yes, as Jesus put it, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 persons who need no repentance. We always tend to think to ourselves that this refers to the outcast of society, rather than to the person who comes to the realization of their own failings. In our smugness, we imagine ourselves to be part of the 99, because we cannot always see the truth of our own lives unless others point things out to us and often fail to notice the reality we live in. Rather like the fact that many people have actually put on weight during lockdown during the last 6 months, despite the fact that we were advised to exercise. It would seem that for many, their exercise has been jumping to the wrong conclusions, running down others, sidestepping responsibility, and pushing their luck. So let us, with God's help, seek to be the people who strive to be more Christ-like, but face the fact that we are a work in progress. After all, John Newton, the one who wrote "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds," was converted to Christianity in 1748. However, he remained a master of a slave ship for another 6 years, until one day the truth dawned on him that slavery was evil and incompatible with the teaching of Christ. Lord, open our eyes that we may see better the truth of your word revealed in Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.